about to share with you one of the greatest secrets, in my opinion, that I use in my coaching every single day to unblock all of the resistance and the struggle and the wheel spinning that can happen on our way to creating our results, creating goals, creating amazing things, and also just getting through tough times. So you can use what I'm about to teach you to coach yourself to your own very next level, or you can use it to coach others too. And I really hope that you enjoy it. G'day, welcome back to the Super Freak podcast. So when I'm working with clients, often they have a goal. Now, sometimes as a coach, you have to help them, like part of your job is helping them clarify what the goal is, but either A, they know what to do, but they're just not doing it, or B, they're doing everything that they can. Like they're taking all the actions, they're doing all the right things, and it's just not happening. So they're either avoiding action and getting caught up in distraction and procrastination. Maybe that's you right now. Or they're ticking every darn box there is to tick, and they just feel like they're waiting for it to happen because there's literally nothing else to do and they don't know why it's not happening yet. Maybe you've felt either of these or both of these at different times of your life. There's a reason for this. It's because there are two separate types of subconscious or unconscious resistance to achieving a goal. And part of your work as a coach, part of my work as a coach, whether you're coaching yourself or others, let's just use that interchangeably, right? Because this is about coaching yourself as much as it is about coaching others. Part of your work as the coach is to be able to determine which type of resistance a person is experiencing, and it's imperative. So in this episode, I'm going to help you determine, number one, what the two types of resistance are and how to spot them. Number two, why uncovering which one you have or your client will make or break a coaching program in its entirety. And number three, what to do as a solution for both of these types of resistance. So you can stop procrastinating or stop spinning your wheels, getting nowhere, and start achieving tangible results with more ease, less stress, much faster. And you can use what you know to help your friends and clients experience easier, faster success too. So people in general, including you and I, we're always revealing our subconscious fears and thoughts through our language and behaviors, and sometimes our lack of behavior as well. So we're not taking action. We don't go out of our way not to succeed. We never do. We're always doing the very best that we can. Actually, I shouldn't say never, because I can actually think of some times I purposefully did not want to succeed for various different reasons, right? But it doesn't make any sense to do it on purpose in general. But often in going for something new, while it seems exciting and quite straightforward, you know, do the steps, hit the goal, it can bring up every subconscious belief, fear, significant emotional event that's ever happened to you that taught you it's just not safe to do that, or that result isn't for someone like you, or it's impossible. You know, it can really bring up stuff, just giving yourself permission to even want what you want. And I've heard this saying, new level, old devil. I don't know who originally wrote that saying, but it's sort of a metaphor for every time you are going to the new level, something old can sort of rear its head and get in the way. And that's what I'm talking about. So this is why coaching is one of those professions that will probably never not exist, because it's our human condition to want to create safety. And often what feels safe at first is staying where we are and not risking failure, even if we really want the result. This is where we can start to feel that tension and internal conflict. But rather than trying to label it self-sabotage, I don't love that label, to be honest, because I truly believe a more accurate description is self-preservation. In not doing what we want to do, we're continuing the benefit we get from not doing it. I'll say that again. In not doing what we want to do, we're continuing the benefit we get from not doing it. We're preserving our current status quo, or we're trying to hang on to the benefit we get from that status quo. It's called secondary gain. And in order for life as it is and the benefits we get from life as it is to remain, we need to resist change. It's how we self-preserve. So for example, I'll use a really obvious example. If I'm a smoker, I may really want to quit smoking, but I get this awesome benefit from smoking right now. It really relaxes me. The nicotine helps me focus, and my life is quite stressful because I'm studying or I'm working or whatever. I know, guaranteed, that I can go outside and have a smoke, and within 15 minutes, I feel more calm thanks to the chemicals which kick in and bring my focus back. I might be really afraid to let that go because I can't afford a day not being able to experience that benefit right now, or at least it feels that way. So really, resistance is when there is secondary gain to staying the same. Now, a really great coach will do the work to figure out what the secondary gain is and help their clients keep that benefit while removing the behavior that's not desired. But there are two specific ways that this resistance, this kind of self-sabotage, or let's call it self-preservation and secondary gain, two specific ways it shows up. If I could just chunk them into two massive chunks and generalize it, there would be only two, but there's probably lots of nuance to this, which I'm not going to go into. But when you know which one is you or your client, you can start doing really efficient work and you speed up your results and you save yourself literally potentially hundreds of hours. I'm talking turning decades into days. If you think about how much time we can spend in procrastination or spinning our wheels to coach yourself through to the result. So here they are. The first type of resistance is resistance to taking action. This is a more commonly known one. But the second is resistance to the result. Some might call that fear of success. Now, before I go into this, I want to say it's never conscious. We are not trying to actively do this. It's just what happens. Now, the key to knowing that you have some kind of resistance, because you could be either of these two at any point, but you know that you have some kind of resistance. If, for example, you're super connected to the end goal, like you're really excited about it, you really want it to happen, you can kind of feel it anytime you think about it. You feel like in a way you're already there internally, but you just don't have the external results. It hasn't happened yet. And that's really frustrating. This is an indication that there is some kind of resistance in the way. Now, what's cool about this is that in my world, all that's in the way of you and whatever it is that you want is some form of resistance. And that resistance can be in the form of like limiting beliefs, interesting ideas. We'll get into it in a moment. But the coolest thing about that is I believe you can remove, it's your job to just remove the resistance. You don't need to add anything necessarily. Sometimes you need to add some skills, right? Or some education and things like that. But for the most part, it's about removing what doesn't align with where it is you want to go. And that's a key piece. Now, I don't need to say this, but I will. Sometimes we're just being bloody impatient. We have zero concept or appreciation or patience for things just taking time. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that particular scenario when you know you've done everything, but it's just going to take time. I'm talking about when you feel like something is literally preventing you from getting the result, either because you're taking no action whatsoever or you're taking all of the action and you've been doing it for ages and it's still not happening. It feels like there is just no indication that it's even improving, right? There are things we can do and we're going to talk about them. So let's start by talking about resistance to taking action. There are two main sort of dead giveaways. So you know this is you if, number one, you are an epic procrastinator. I would say this is the main dead giveaway, right? Like the action is quite simple and clear, but you've managed to do something else, super complicated even, instead of the one thing that you're supposed to be doing. I remember when I was at university studying interior architecture, I had to do this project where we had to map where the sun hit a building and like trace the shadows, and you know, it was a bit of a project. And it was so simple, but I just could not get myself to do it. And I remember catching myself about 3 hours after I sat down, and I had all these different clothes on because I had opened up my wardrobe and I started cleaning up my wardrobe instead. It was a huge task to clean up my wardrobe, but I found myself doing that instead of just the task. That was resistance to doing the task. That's the first one. The second giveaway is that you're not moving on your list of things to do, which is similar, right? But even if you're doing lots of other things, the needle doesn't move forward. So you might be doing lots of similar things. You might be doing, let's say you have a business and you're doing lots of social media, lots of marketing, lots of activity, lots of like subject related activity. So the first one was you're doing something completely different, but this is you're doing something subject related and lots of it, but it's just kind of not happening. You're not doing the actual action. This is classic resistance to action. You might get caught up researching or taking a million courses, talking about it to everyone, but no action, not the thing that is most uncomfortable. Or you might just straight up not want to take the necessary actions. I remember when I was young and I wanted to learn how to build wealth, but I refused to sit and read books about it and actually learn. I just was more interested in like feeling successful rather than actually being successful. So for example, resistance to act can be when you know you want to work out, you have all the apps, you bought a cute outfit, ask me how I know, everything is ready, it's even in the calendar, and no, you just don't, right? This is what I'm talking about. But it can also look like this. When something is so new, like for example, a new skill that you're learning, it challenges everything we are already really skilled at doing or that we find really easy. Now, whenever you're really skilled at doing something or you find it really easy, I'm going to break it down here for you. All that really means is you've done it enough times that you no longer have to think about it. You are unconsciously competent at that thing, whether it is a helpful strategy, a good strategy, a useful strategy, whether it's a strategy that gets you what you want or not, you've myelinated. It's really easy. You know, the connections between your neurons have sort of been made between you and that thing. So it doesn't matter if it's useful or the most effective, it's just the easiest for you because you no longer have to think about it. So when you're learning a new skill and it challenges that, you have to do something different in those moments, even if our current way of doing things is quite slow, outdated, or clunky. For example, I might have this habit since I was young that when I need to remember something, I write it on my hand, right? Instead of writing it down, but that's how I capture information. And I used to do this. If I've not actioned the thing before I take a shower and wash it off, I write it on my hand again the next day. When it comes time to learn perhaps a more efficient way of doing things, managing tasks, etc., I know the way I do things means I risk forgetting tasks if they wash off. I'm speaking present tense, but this is me in the past, right? I know that the way that I do things, if I do this today, I know it means I risk forgetting tasks if they wash off. I know I still forget things. I know that if they're repeated, I have to rely on my memory, and that's not a great use of my brain space. I know I can only fit a certain number of things listed on my hand. I know it looks ridiculous. I need not go on, but this is my system. I don't have to think about it, and it works, and I don't want to change it. I get things done last minute. I know I feel rushed. I know I don't always achieve my goals, but it's my system and I don't want to change it, right? I might resist then, if that's me, learning something new. I might get completely overwhelmed because anything different just feels wrong and clunky and hard because the way I currently do things just feels so easy, even though technically it's not easier because it doesn't work and I don't achieve my goals, right? Most of the time. This is just another form of resistance to taking action. Until those chemical impulses and neurons have fired off in the same direction a number of times and I become unconsciously competent at that thing, it's not smooth. It feels rough. It's literal resistance. It literally feels like there is resistance on the road. And even if my strategy kind of sucks, I'm resistant to change and act. So that's the first one, resistance to action. Hands up if that's you. Obviously, I can't see you, but I see you, right? The second type, and this is the sneakier type of resistance, is resistance to the result. In other words, a subconscious fear of success. Now, this one sounds crazy. Why would I have a fear of success? Well, let me tell you, if you've ever taken a course with me like Super Abundant, you'll know that we talk about things like the class system and the class system paradigm and mentality and how too much change can mean we feel like we are moving into a world or a life that we have to leave people behind. And there can be so much resistance to that level of change. It doesn't necessarily have to be class related. I don't like the class system or describing it in that way, but it can literally be just friendship related, family related. It can feel like you're kind of walking away from a certain circle or, you know, experience that can cause huge resistance to actually taking action, even if you're really excited about the goal. And it can even be completely unconscious, as in you have no idea you're doing this. You just don't know why it's not working. It's so sneaky. Now, it sounds really wild. And even people who have massive goals that they're really excited about can experience this. But the main giveaway is this. You're not hesitant to take action whatsoever. You have no problem starting and completing a task. You learn about what you're supposed to do and you just do it straight away. But it's still not happening. It's still not looking like progress is even being made. It feels like you're at a complete dead end. Or you're getting like little bits of results, but it just doesn't feel anywhere near as satisfying. And it feels like it's been going on forever and ever and ever. And you're just not feeling satisfied with the progress that you're making. This can be an indication that you have fear of success or resistance to the result. This is such a sneaky one because, like I said, you might be so excited about the result most of the time, but subconsciously, if you really achieved it, what next? If you really achieved it, you might be away from your kids a little bit more than you're comfortable with at this phase of their life. If you achieved it, you might lose someone or something really important to you because you wouldn't be able to spend as much time there or with them, or you're afraid you will. So you do all the things, and even the opportunities are knocking at your door and you're taking action, but something's just not lining up. It's so subtle. But yes, you are more in control than you think. So for example, I remember talking to my coach when I was training for world titles in 2011. I think it was 2011. I was going for title number 10. I was competing in two separate events at the upcoming tournament and hoping to win two medals because I'd done it before, but I don't know that anyone else had sort of done it before twice. So it was a really big goal for me to do that. And in the years before that, I had just kind of, I don't know why I did this, a bit dumb really, but I just kept moving the bar. You know, I wanted to win two titles and then I was like, I wonder if I can do five. And then I won five and I was like, I wonder if I can win seven. And I was at that limit, like 10. And I remember saying to my coach, I can feel myself slowing down my training. Like I'm slowing down before the finish line. And the reason is because I don't know what's next. Like, who am I if or when I actually do this? What's beyond that mile? It's a really weird place to be, and I hope everyone listening actually does experience this at some point in their life, because you'll learn in a moment. It's a really weird sensation of almost coming full circle, because you have to kind of go back to basics, and I'll explain what I mean in a moment, which is just beautiful. And my aim with this podcast is that not only can I help you start taking action on things that you're not taking action on, but to get to a point where you've achieved everything that you could dream of and you realize that's actually like just the first bite of the cake. I don't know if that's even a saying, but there's always so much more for you and you get to open up your world in a whole new way. At the time when I was doing martial arts was my whole world and I didn't realize there was so much more available for me beyond it. So this resistance to the result can also be not knowing what's next and therefore not being okay with getting closer to it because you want that sense of security and knowing. Like an Olympian who knows it's their last Olympics. It can also be though, just knowing that if you get there, it's a world that maybe nobody in your family or nobody in your lineage has ever experienced. It's complete unknown and you'd be the first. It's so new, it's almost scary in the sense that it feels like you might get into trouble, you might change too much or something, but you don't know. And the unknown can mean that we don't go 100% towards it with no resistance. So that's what I mean by resistance to the result. So do you know what I mean? Okay, now raise your hand if that's you, my friend. Again, I can't see you, but I see you. Now, to massively generalize, typically the resistance to action type folks, as in the first category of resistance, they're people who are closer to the beginning end of their journey of achieving like their first big goal or working towards something that feels like really outside of their comfort zone, maybe for the first time in a long time, or maybe the first time ever. Again, massive generalization, but also typically folks who have resistance to success are people who have already had a lot of it in some way and they're going for something really extra special, but not always. I have met people who have resistance either way, who are just in different circumstances. So like I said, massive generalization. Okay. Now here's why figuring out which one you are will actually make or break your coaching experience, your program. You know, you really want to get this right. The short answer is because coaching needs to be tailored to the specifics of the problem. We're not always just working through a cookie cutter system. Everyone is starting from different places. Everybody has different reasons for why they want something. Everybody has different kinds of resistance. If I have resistance to action, I guarantee you I've already spent thousands of dollars and so much time already on doing mindset work, working on my mindset, guaranteed. Like in terms of working on my mindset around achieving the goal, guaranteed, because it's something I can do that's related to the action, but it's not the actual action. And it's exactly why I feel so connected to the end goal, even though I'm not there yet. My job as your coach is to give you robust accountability systems and only do mindset work around whatever is in the way of you taking action right now on this very one clear task. Anything else is a complete waste of time. That being said though, if I was working with someone who had resistance to the result, so let's say someone who is like scaling their business, things are really growing beyond what they could have ever perceived for themselves, maybe they're becoming famous, and they're feeling resistant to what that might mean for their family unit and how they're going to keep those intimate moments. And if I'm working with someone like that and as their coach, I'm only doing accountability work, well, I might as well just follow them around and tell them what they're doing as they're doing it. You are now making a cup of tea. You are now scratching your leg, right? It's just unnecessary noise. This person does not need accountability most of the time for most things. They need deep work. They need connection to a mission and a purpose that is bigger than themselves, that almost makes them cry, that is the reason why they get up every day. So they don't need to know the how. They don't need to know the exact steps. They don't need to worry about that. They're in exponential land, okay? They need to go back to the drawing board and recreate their whole identity sometimes and question their limiting beliefs about this. Not to try harder, but to remove all the scripted ideas in this way that says something has to change or that it has to be harder or they'll be bored or they'll miss out or whatever it might be. Okay, so can you see there are two very different ways I would coach someone with the two very different types of resistance? And the reason why it feels like coaching maybe isn't working or your mindset work isn't working is because you're doing the wrong type of work on the wrong type of resistance. Do you see? Right from the get-go, aside from just finding the clarity around what a client wants or what I want for myself, I need to find and locate where the resistance is on the map so I can create the best plan for results. Mindset and accountability are both paramount. They're both really important, but they are detrimental if used in the wrong circumstances. Does that make sense? Now let's talk about what to do for each of these types of resistance, because hopefully by now you've identified if you're experiencing resistance, which one's you, and why it's really important that you need to get it right, okay? So there are heaps of things you can do, but I'm just going to chunk it down to three things each. Let's start with resistance to act. So number one, the first thing you do is break down tasks until they are so small they can be done or started in the next 10 minutes and possibly even be completed within an hour. Now, most of the time, we chunk actions way too big. This is really basic stuff, right? But it's worth remembering. If you're overwhelmed, your chunks are too big. Don't write, build my website, or even write my about page as you do your to-do list. Break it down smaller. Write an outline for an about page. Do 10 minutes of Googling or going onto ChatGPT and find the structure of an about page. Write one draft paragraph for the first section of the about page. Like, break it down. All success is about lots and lots of teeny tiny little actions inside of a big goal, not massive ones. They all add up. So that's the first one. The second one is the mindset work only happens on taking action on this specific task, meaning finding a way to connect how taking action on this one teeny tiny little task or beginning this project or learning something new is going to give you more of everything that is important to you and less of everything that you currently don't want. So I'm not doing mindset work on the massive goal. Sometimes, I might start there a little bit. I'm getting clear on what it is, but I'm really looking at taking action. That's where the resistance is. We don't need to connect our whole being to our whole end goal. We need to connect this one task to everything we want. Makes sense? And the third one is solid accountability. So like I said, all success is breaking things down into teeny tiny little steps and a sequence of doing those steps and following through the sequence. Now, if you find you're not achieving what you set out to do, you're probably setting the bar too high and you need to lower it. I can't believe how often I say this in my practice. It's so funny, but it's true. Lower your standards for a bit and actually experience some wins, because wins breed wins. And accountability will bring you those wins if you combine it with taking tiny action. So you're actually going to be celebrating and acknowledging and really, really feeling it when you do something and you take a step forward, and you're going to start teaching your nervous system that it's safe to do that and actually feels good and actually feels better than doing nothing, right? Or cleaning out your wardrobe instead. So accountability can look like many things. It can be social accountability. It could be that friend who is meeting you at a certain time. It could be a coach. It could be announcing it on Facebook, or it could be selling something before it's even created. So you have to follow through on it, which is actually totally normal, by the way, and very smart. It can also be implementing new systems and habits that help you stay on track. Accountability looks different, and we've all got our own unique way of preferences for accountability. So breaking down the task to 10-minute chunks, mindset work only on that chunk, and accountability and celebration when it's done, if I was to sum that up really briefly. Now let's move on to resistance to the outcome or fear of success. Here are three ways you can mitigate this type of resistance. So once again, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just top three things I would recommend. Number one, identify all of the interesting ideas you have about getting to that next level. I'm talking everything. Write them down in a list and work through them one by one, preferably with support. Deep, deep mindset work is required here to question every single weird idea about where your own upper limit is and what you're allowed to do. And I say weird idea because they're really interesting when you explore them, right? We know there's a solution for all of them. We just can't see it. So when you look back and think about it, you can just go, oh, that was a limiting belief I had. I like to call it an interesting idea or a weird idea. It kind of takes a lot of the charge and the meaning out of it when you can just call it a weird idea. Like, I had this weird idea that this is what happened. I'm sure you've heard me say that before, but it's worth repeating. So this is where you do that deep mindset work. And when you work out what all of these interesting ideas are around the upper limit, you effectively, this is what I meant when I said, you come back to basics, you come full circle, because you then have to explore what those interesting ideas are in order to allow yourself to go beyond what it is. So an example of an interesting idea might be, I don't know what's next. It might be, it feels too unknown for me. It might be, I'm afraid I'm going to lose people, or I'm not going to be able to spend as much time with my family, and that's really important to me. You could have the most random ideas that actually just create like 1% of resistance. And at this level, we're looking at the 1%. We're looking at the 1% of resistance, like the tiny little blister in your shoe that is causing you to eventually not be able to walk if you don't pay attention to it and deal with it. So that's the first one. Second one is creating your own unique strategy. Now we do this by identifying the things that got you here, the things you did, the personality traits, the characteristics, the actions that absolutely won't get you there. You know, the things we need to let go of, but also the things that got you here that absolutely will take you to the next level. Now, that second part of this is really important. Too many people focus on changing who they are to reach new levels of success. But at a certain point, it's your authenticity and what feels super easy for you that has you stand out and be able to work consistently and sustainably towards what it is that you want. This is what I call your unique strategy. Now, I remember a few years back, I had a client that was going from, she had built her way up in a network marketing company, and she treated it just like an investment opportunity. And she had built it up in a way that was really quite rebellious. She didn't do it the way everybody tells you to do it because it wasn't comfortable for her to do it that way. She did it in a really high touch way where she just worked with people one-on-one pretty much. And she was about to hit like the second highest level, I think, in the company. And it was a significant leap in income, significant, like life-changing amount of money. And when we were chatting about this new level, she started talking about all these really complicated, like extra funnels and things that made no sense that she'd never done before, she was never interested in, that she didn't like doing. And we realized through some coaching that this was such a huge change of income for her that she had made up in her head this interesting idea. She was overcomplicating it because she didn't know how it was going to change her. And she felt like, well, there was two reasons. She first of all felt like she needed to have her big girl panties on and like do things differently in order to get to that new level, which was really interesting. But secondly, because she didn't know how it was going to change her, she was overcomplicating the process to slow herself down before she got to that level. So it's allowed to get easier. That's the key that you need to remember. It is allowed to get easier as time goes on. And a lot of people need to take on this because they've got an outdated idea that because it's been hard up until now, there is no traffic on that extra mile, but we kind of keep making it hard because it's always been hard, you know? So it's allowed to get easier, and it should. And some people worry that that's going to be boring. That's another interesting idea people have. But it's really at this point that boring becomes a whole new privilege because you have all the resources and all the experience to create excitement elsewhere in new ways. And that part about the goal that you've worked so hard to achieve becomes easy. Believe it or not, this is like a massive identity shift. And it's a really weird thing, but it also feels like, again, coming back to basics. So that's the second one, is creating your own unique strategy, letting go of what got you here that won't get you there, and doing more of what got you here that will absolutely get you there. Okay, number three, the final one, is having a mission that trumps the how. So doubling down on teaching your nervous system that it's safe to have the result without needing to know all the things that are going to happen in between. Because when you're on the road less traveled, there isn't necessarily a map of where you need to go. You need to be really comfortable with not knowing and making it up as you go. And the thing that helps you with that is having that mission or this vision of where you want to go that is so powerful, it gets you up every day and you feel comfortable with figuring out the how one step at a time. That means visualization. That means going there in every way possible in your mind. But also in my practice, I invite my clients to go even further beyond the result, which is like in Cartesian logic, which is something we teach in NLP, this would be the non-mirror image reverse. It's like so far out beyond. You have to go, in order to be able to answer the question of what's beyond that result, you have to first, in your mind, subconsciously, go to the result, which is often something that we find hard to do. So it can send you into a complete blank spot, but training your mind to go beyond it, like if you want to make $100,000, imagine making 200 or 400 or a million. If you want to make 10 million, imagine making a billion, right? And it makes the goal that you have, it's like a secondary gain to this, a good one. When you do that, you instantly make this big goal, like a molehill instead of a mountain. It's just one more step in an even more exciting adventure. And it puts things into a new perspective. So rather than thinking, oh my gosh, this is the end of the road, I don't know what's next, it means you're no longer like wigging out over what feels like some kind of finish line that has nothing beyond it. It puts it in its place and it allows you to just easily take more steps forward. So to sum that up, you do the deep work to explore the limiting or the interesting ideas that you have about what it will mean. You identify your unique strategy, the strategy that you're going to keep as well as what you're going to let go of to get there. And then you double down on teaching your nervous system that it's safe by going way further out in your mind as often as you need to until it feels kind of boring, kind of normal. In fact, so many of my clients over the years have contacted me after they've hit their big goals and they're like, it was kind of boring. I'm not going to lie. And I'm like, great, because it means that you've actually become the type of person who has this result. It wasn't something that you just fluked, which is cool. So there you have it, my friends. The two types of resistance, resistance to action, resistance to the result, why they are so imperative to identify on your results journey so that you are not wasting a second of your time coaching, how to spot them and what to do about them, three steps for each. I really hope this helps you today. I know it's helped me coach myself and my clients so much over the years in a way that truly does feel like magic for clients when they've been spinning their wheels for so long. When someone can identify for them, oh, you have this type of resistance, this is what you need to do. It's so cool. So I hope it gives you something fun to think about for yourself and people that you love too. And now I'd love to hear from you. Which one do you feel might be you right now if you're experiencing a little bit of resistance? So write to me in all the places that you can write to me and let me know if that's you and what you're going to do, which one of the steps you're going to do first. And of course, if you think you'd love to have some support with this, I have two amazing programs opening up in the next few months that are perfect for each type of resistance. The Bloom Business Incubator is effectively designed for moving through resistance to action, but it really focuses on education around the pillars of business and taking the right action at the right time to help you make $5,000 to $10,000 a month consistently. And the second is the Fierce Salon. This is really helpful for identifying and moving through resistance to the result. And this is my signature group coaching program. I've run it for over 8 years now for folks who want to go from good to great. And what that looks like is a mystery. So you can join the wait lists for each of those below. But regardless, thank you for being here and thank you for listening. Remember, everything you want is so much closer than you think. So stay curious and stay open, and I'll see you in the next episode.